Okay, again, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Beis. We are continuing the discussion, the Nevuah of the Churban of Bavel. As we mentioned yesterday, the Churban of Bavel reappears in a few places in Sefer Yeshaya. We went to that very important Rashi. Rashi in the beginning of Masa Midbar. Rashi asked the question, why do we have this repetition? Why, we already go in the Perek Gimel, we had a whole Perek devoted to the Churban of Bavel. Why all over again? So that's a very critical Rashi. Pa'amim shehanevuah ba b'fiv hayom b'signon echad ulu'achar zman b'signon acher. Each nevuah has a different flavor describing the same event. So we discussed here the Masah Midbar. We discussed here that this, the first pasuk tells us about the travels of Paras u'Madai as they travel through the desert to attack Bavel. They come with an enormous number of soldiers, and they create what is called here Kisufos, a whirlwind, a sandstorm with all of their soldiers and artillery and weapons as they come to attack Baal Shetzah. Pasuk Beis, Chazus Koshohu Gali, a very difficult or strong vision was told to me. This is a very unusual expression. Rashi says, Hanavi Omer Nevuah Zo Kosha, Al Bavel Hugali Kosha, over here can simply mean that it's a very destructive. As we learned before, that the Churban of Bavel was greater than the Churban of other nations. All the nations that suffered was due to the sin, their sin of causing Tsar and Churban to Bnei Israel. But there's no nation that caused Churban like the nation of Bavel, because they were the ones who destroyed the Bayis Rishon, and to a certain degree that Churban was much greater than the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni was never really the full glory of the Bayis Rishon. The Shekhinah was never restored to the Bayis Sheni to the degree that it existed in the time of the Bayis Rishon. So the Churban of the Bayis Rishon was that much greater, and being that it was done through Bavel, they would receive a full measure of punishment for what they have done, and that's why here it's called a Chazus Kosha, very powerful, destructive vision of what will come upon Bavel. Hugali, Habogeid, Bogeid. These two words are instructions. Anyone that wants to rob, Bogeid means to rob, to plunder. The Hashodeid, Shodeid, two words which seemingly mean the same thing, to rob and plunder. Bogeid means to rob, Shodeid means to plunder. Anyone that wants to rob and plunder, Bavel, go right ahead. Hashem is giving permission. I give you permission. I encourage you to rob them, to destroy them. I've weakened their defenses, min hashamayim. I want them to be destroyed.
Okay, means to rob.
To rebel. Begida.
To betray.
To rebel. To rebel. Okay, in this context, it means, in this meaning, it says merit. The mitzvah of siyon habogeid in merit to rebel. Anyone that wants to rebel, I guess Bavel was the world power. Anyone that wants to rebel at this point in time will be successful. Okay, so here you're right. Bogeid means to rebel. The hashaydeid means to rob. Oishak is to oppress. Shaydeid oishak is to oppress and to rob. Anyone who wants to rebel and oppress them at this time, they will be successful. And then next words, Ali Elam. Elam was the capital of Paras. So Hashem is giving direct instructions to the nation of Paras. Rise up. I have selected you to conquer Bavel. Suri Modai. The other nation in this alliance was Modai. Create a siege. Surround the capital of Bavel. Surround the palace. Create a siege around Bavel. Modai. Kol Anchasa Hishpati. Hishpati Loshen of Shavas. Anchasi is grief. Bavel was they were tyrants. All of the anguish and the tsar that they've brought upon the world, Hishpati, I will bring to an end. In the past tense, I have brought to an end. What I am about to do now, the instructions I give Paras u'Madai to attack and to conquer Bavel, in fulfillment, when this plan will be fulfilled, the tsar, the anchosa, the anguish that this nation has brought upon the world will come to an end. Pasuk Gimel, therefore, now Yeshaya is speaking, Molu mosnai chal chola. My loins, my thighs are filled with terror. I shake in terror. And there are two interpretations for this part of the pasuk. Either Yeshaya is saying that he has tsar over the churbin of Babel. It's a pella. We had this idea. This idea was very clear with regard to Moav. Moav, back a couple of prokem ago, Yeshaya was actually mourning over the churbin of Moav because Moav was the most spiritual of all the nations of the world. Lot was the father of Moav, and Lot was the nephew of Avram. Yeshaya saw in the nation of Moav great potential for spirituality, to come close to Hashem. And being that they have sinned, they have not taken advantage. In fact, Moshiach comes from Rus HaMoaviyah. David comes from Moav, and from Moav comes Melech HaMoshiach, Malchus David. So Yeshaya had tsar over the churban of Moab because Moab had great potential. So some of the Mefarshim understand the pasuk here similar to the way they understood Yeshaya's expression of grief over Moab, that I have tsar because Bavel, either there was great potential for Ruchnius, which they totally lost, or what it means is that after the conquest of, after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, after he died, during the time of Evel Merodach, the Jews in Bavel lived a good life. They were able to rebuild and rejuvenate. And it was only due to the good life that they experienced after the death of Nebuchadnezzar in the lifetime of his son Evel Merodach. And that's what gave them the koyach to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash during the time of Koresh, right after the fall of Babel. So here Yeshaya, according to some, is mourning that Babel, it's horrible what they did. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but they also, the Jewish people, were deserving of what came upon them for their sins of Avodah Zarah and their rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But now, during this Kufa of where the Jewish people were living in Babel, the situation was, the environment was proper for them to rejuvenate and prepare themselves for rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash and coming close to Hashem once again. That is a reason for me to be upset, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not deny good, does not let any good deed go unrewarded. So there's no such thing in this world as pure evil and pure bad. There's always this gray area, there's a mix. Bavel, obviously, they are the most wicked for what they have done. But Yeshaya sees a silver lining for the Jewish people, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed and the Jewish people to go into exile. That is what allowed us to survive. If we would have gone on, the Beis would have been destroyed. They would not have Chas Shalom been a Klal Yisrael that would have survived. So there was some silver lining in what Bavel did to the Jewish people. It's difficult to understand exactly what that means. And for that, Yeshaya here is saying, I have tsar in witnessing such terrible things happen to these human beings. It's a pella. Al kein, therefore, molu mosnai chalchala, my loins are filled with terror. I shake. Other mefarshim disagree. They say no such thing. There is no redeeming quality in the people of Babel. They are 100% wicked. And here Yeshaya is putting himself in the position of one of the people of Babel. This is what the Babylonians will be saying at the time of Korban. He is putting himself in their place. Al-Kain, therefore, Molei Mosnai Chalchalo, the people are speaking. Every citizen above will say, my loins are filled with terror. I shake because I see that I am about to die. Our country is about to be destroyed. Tzirim Achazuni. Tzirim is another word for terror. There are many words here in these psukim. Many words are referred to terror. We just had the word Chalchalo. Chalchalo means terror, means Ra'adah. And the word of tzirim means birth pangs. It comes from the word tzir. Tzir is a hinge. When a woman gives birth, her womb opens up. So the psukim compare it to a door. The womb is a door, and the door has hinges. And as the hinges open, the baby comes out. However, those hinges, when they turn, cause a lot of pain. It's not like a modern door where it's oiled and it's quiet and it's sophisticated. The hinges of a human being, when they turn, are extremely painful. So that's what here he says, Tzirim Achazuni, I have birth pangs, equivalent my pain, the pain has the hinges, the pain of my hinges turning have taken over me, have seized me, equivalent kitzire yoleda, like the birth pangs of a woman in labor when her womb opens and the child comes out. That is how much pain I have. Na'avesi mishma. Na'avesi means crooked. Again, here it's another expression of tsar. When I hear reports, Yishai is simply is putting himself in the position of one of the citizens of Babel, and he is quoting them. When the people of Babel hear reports, when they read the newspaper, when they listen to the radio, when they see on television what is happening to their country, they become crooked. They shake to such a degree where their bodies are crooked when they hear Nivhalti Meraos. They are terrified from seeing these visions, the sights of what is coming upon the nation through Paras Umodai as they brutally destroy the Malchus of Babel. Pasuk Dal, another expression. Ta'al Levavi, my heart is lost. Person is lost, he wanders. He wanders in the street. Palotsus bi'asosni. These are two words which mean terror. And when they're taken together, it means I'm terrified. I am bi'asosni, I'm afraid, because of palotsus, because of actions of terror, terrifying events. So we have over here, then okay, let's go one more part. Well, let's just go for one more sentence. Es neshef chishki. Neshef means the evening. Chishki, my delight. At the time of my delight in the evening, somli lacharada, it was transformed into terror. This refers to the Suda of Baal Shetzar. Baal Shetzar made a calculation. There was a prophecy from the time of Yirmiyah that Babel would only last for 70 years, and 70 years, according to the calculation, Baal Shetzar has passed, and nothing has happened. So he took out the Caleb of the Beis HaMikdash, he had a party, and at that party they were celebrating that we are here, we have survived, and Yirmiyah was wrong. So it was the time, it was the evening, it was a party, Neshef, in the evening, Chishki, my delight. Everyone in Babel was rejoicing that we have survived the test of time, we are here for 70 years, we just were victorious over a major battle against Paras. They are the only threat on the horizon, and we have succeeded in conquering Paras, and we are here to stay. Yirmi was wrong, and therefore we're going to celebrate. On that very night, when they were chishki, cheshek, the enjoyment, when they were rejoicing at that party, suddenly there was handwriting on the wall. And Daniel was summoned by Baal Shetzar to interpret the handwriting, and he told them that the words mean that Hashem has weighed your sins and your downfall is imminent. They were terrorized, and indeed that night one of the servants of Baal Shetzar got up and assassinated the king Baal Shetzar, and immediately thereafter the new Malchus came to be. Modai Paras took over. Dayovesh Modai became the new king, and the Malchus, the power of the world, was transferred from Babel to Modai. So over here, what do we view? We have over here numerous expressions of terror. So in review, just look what we have over here. We have over here the word. We have Chal Chola. We have Tzirim. We have Na'avesi. Nithalti, Palotsus, Biasosni, and Charoda. So how many expressions is that? 1, 2, 3. Also, Toha, another expression, Toha, 6. Toha is also, I'm lost. It's an expression of being afraid. I'm hopeless. I have no guidance. So it's quite a series of expressions of terror that have come upon Baba. Talk about being afraid. Every possible expression of fear. Talk to a psychologist, all the different types of fear, person have phobias, person can have. There's no question that the people of Babel experienced them all in all of these various expressions due to the sin of what they have done to the Jewish people. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk continues the theme of what happened that night at that party. Aroch Hashulchan, arrange the table. Baal Shetzar gave a command, there shall be a state dinner. And everyone is invited to the state dinner. Arrange the table. However, the pasuk goes on to say, during that su'uda, after they saw the handwriting on the wall, the mood changed very quickly. And they sent out out people to look, gazers, so if they're watchmen. They sent out to the city limits, to on top of the wall, special watchmen who were trained to see at great distances if there is anyone coming, any enemy is nearing the city, poised for an attack. So Aroch HaShulchan, at the very time when they were arranging the table, they were enjoying their su'uda, Tzofo HaTzofis. The Tzofis, referring to the watchmen, went out to the top of the wall to look out, to see perhaps there is an enemy that is planning a surprise attack. Ochol Shoso, while they were eating and drinking, immediately the mood changed due to the handwriting on the wall and Doniel's interpretation. Kumu Hasorim, the princes rose up, they were instructed, they called up the reserves, Nishchu Magen, and they smeared the shield with oil. In ancient times, it was the custom when they went out to battle, they would take oil and they would smear their leather shields with oil, and that caused the arrows to deflect. It caused it strengthened the arrows, and if an arrow would hit the shield, it would glide off due to the oil, the smooth nature of the shield. So this was a preparation. Prepare your weapons. Prepare your defense forces. Prepare your weapons because we sense that we are about to be attacked by Paras. And all Gzuntad, all this happened during the time that they were Gzuntad, they were enjoying themselves at this party that Belshazzar made in honor of his success. Adam Farshima Mishkum again refers to the fact that Belshazzar was assassinated. And when a king is assassinated, they anoint. They anoint a new king. So here the word Mogain is a metaphor for a king. It's an interesting idea. It's like we say Mogain Avraham. Hashem is the shield of Avraham. Avraham is our patriarch, our forefather. He is the father of the nation. So every king, to a certain degree, is the Mogain of their country. And we know that when a new king is put in position, he's anointed. That is the expression they take. That comes from the Torah. Shemen HaMishcha. The Shemen HaMishcha is applied to a new king. So here it's a veiled reference to the fact that in this evening, the night of the party, Belshazzar would be assassinated and they would search for a new king to take over, for Belshazzar to anoint the new Mogain, the king who serves as the shield of the country. That's the primary role of the king, is to protect the country from harm. Okay.
Was there an interval between the time that Belshazzar was assassinated
and Dayavesh,
it appears, took over?
It appears yes and no. Later on in the Pesukim, we learned that the Korban of Bavel, it started that night, but it was a process. It wasn't. I mean, on the other hand, we reduced it to midrashim that it was instantaneous. There are conflicting midrashim, so it's not really clear. I guess they're both true to a certain degree. It was obvious that Babel is over, but until Dayavesh Hamada established himself as being the new power, the new world power, who everyone would answer to, it took a period of time. So there does seem to be some truth to both different approaches. Okay, pasuk vav. Kichoyamar Hashem Elai. So Kichoyamar. I'm sorry. Kichoyamar Elai Hashem Leich Hamed Hamitzapes. So here there's a lot of repetition. Hashem is speaking to Yeshaya. Hashem. This all took place way before. This took place about 150 or 160 years after the death of Yeshaya. So Yeshaya over here is speaking about events that's going to happen long, long in the future. Yeshaya is speaking now seemingly during the time of, with the first pasuk of Yeshaya, his prophecy ended with the death of Chizkiyah. After Chizkiyah died, Menashe took the throne. The first thing Menashe did when he took the throne was he assassinated his grandfather, Yeshaya. Yeshaya was the grandfather of Menashe. Menashe killed his grandfather when he took the throne after the death of Chizkiyah. So, therefore, so It's therefore Yeshayahu is speaking about events. The Churban Beis Hamikdash took place number of years after the death of Chizkiyahu. So the events that we are discussing here would not take, and then would be after the Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, it would be another 70 years until, or approximately 70 years until Bavel would fall and Daryavish Hamadai would come on the scene. So Yeshaya is speaking about events that would happen long after his death. Way, long time ahead. Therefore, he says, I want you to set up, establish hamtzape, a watchman, a person that is a tzoife, who gazes. Asher yiren, what he sees, yagid, he will report. There are different interpretations for this pasuk. One interpretation is that he's referring to the actual event of that continuation of the previous pasuk, on that night of the Su'uda of Baal Shetzar, after they saw the hanging on the wall and the mood changed, Baal Shetzar instructed his military officers to send out a watchman to see if they see anything in the distance, if Paras and Madai are planning to attack. So we're referring to that. That is what it's a quotation from Baal Shetzar. Lech, go out. Hamed Hamitzape, set up a watchman. Asher Yira, and what the watchman sees, Yagid, he should report back immediately. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that Yeshaya is instructing his student. Who was Yeshaya's protege? Who is his main student? Chavakuk. Chavakuk is one of the Trei Asar, one of the Nevi'im in the period of Sefer Trei Asar. He was a student. And Yeshaya here is training Chavakuk in the ways of Nevuah, and telling Chavakuk to see what's going to happen at the time of the Churban of Bavel. So he over here is the Mitzapev. Let me just see over here. Let's look in the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Vav. Lech Hamed Hamitzapev. Osid, so Rashi says that Hashem is telling Yeshaya, Os Echemit Halmitcha. One of your students in the future, Lukro Tagor Al Midosai, Al Eretz, Al Erecha, Shalvasa, Shalbavil, Vu Chavakuk. This refers, he's going to see that he's going to complain, Vu Chavakuk, Shoag, Ugova, Omar, Besorch, Viomar, Al Mishmarti, Moidu Mitzapel, Ros Maidaber, Ki Omar, Ashkot, Sparkle, Yeshaya, Hamadel, Oiso, Mitzapev, Hiftihu, Miitai, Miiti, Sheyamod Al Matzpeu, Vasher Yireb, Bemapolosa, Shalbavil, Yagid. So Chavakuk was critical of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. He was upset what happened to the Jewish people. So Hashem is trying to reassure Chavakuk, do not worry. The time will come when Bavel will get what they deserve. So the Mitzapi here refers to Chavakuk. That's the second interpretation. The Mitzudas obviously, Klefidarko, always translates the Pesukim Lefi Pshudashal Mikra, and he says we're referring to exactly what's going to happen at the time of the Suda, where Baal Shetzar will instruct his military to set up a watchman to see if an enemy is about to attack. Now, what do they see? Here we see we have a vision. The vision is Varon, they will see Pasig Zayin, Recha, they will see a chariot, and the chariot will have two animals, Kalayim, two creatures will be pulling the chariot. Vero Recha, the chariot, Tzemed Parashim, there will be a pair of horsemen. There will be two soldiers riding upon two different animals pulling the chariot. Rechev Chamor, Rechev Gomel. Now it repeats with Rechev, so it's not clear if it's referring to the same Rechev that's being pulled by both a donkey and a Gomel, or there are two separate chariots. But whatever it means, whether it's two or the word Rechev is the same Rechev that's being pulled by a Chamor, a Rechev, a chariot that's being pulled by a Gomel, simply there's one chariot being pulled by two creatures, a Gomel and a donkey. The two creatures is a mashal, according to one interpretation, for Paras Umodai. They are the two nations which are now about to attack and destroy Bavel. V'hikshiv keshev rav koshev. The word keshev appears three times in this expression, that this watchman will listen carefully. V'hikshiv means to pay attention. L'hakshiv, to pay attention. Keshev means attention. It means here it's a the noun form. The person that pays attention will pay attention. And what will he discover? Rav Koshev. There's a lot to listen to. It's a very interesting expression. The one that is trained to listen will listen very carefully and will discover, wow, there's a lot to listen to. There's a lot going on. In other words, the watchman will go out to the gates, top of the walls, to the post, and will see that indeed a massive army is about to attack Bavel. Who is this massive army? What are they made up from? Which countries? Two countries. One country is represented by the camel, and the other country is represented by the chamor. The chamor and the gamal, I don't remember exactly. One of them refers to Modai, and one represents Paras. I think Paras is the gamal, and Modai is the chamor. So these two nations are about to attack. Let's look over here at the mitzvah stavet. V'ra'ah kilu ha'emid ala mitzvah. V'ra'ah, he will see rechev sherechem olav zug parashim, a chariot, and upon the chariot there is a pair of horsemen. Now there are no horses. It's not horsemen. It's a camel man and a donkey man. It's a borrowed term. V'ra'ah gamkin rechev chamor. Ratzolaymar echad rechev al chamor v'echad rechev al gamol. Ratzolaymar ro'ah harbe mine bali mochama. According to Mitzvot learns the pasuk very simply, that he sees that there are many different types of weapons, Humvees, and there are helicopters and all different types of aircraft,
one is
tanks.
Slow and the other is fast.
Well, they're both. They say they're both slow.
Camels can go
fast. Donkeys go slow. Camels have the Megillah. Certain types of camels, swift camels. Okay, they're different, but they're both domesticated animals. So they are
camel races.
Yeah.
Okay, these are different types of creatures which are going to come and attack. I'm sure there's a lot of symbolic meaning. Look at the Rashi. Rashi
is more animals of burden.
Animals, okay. Look at Pasuk Zayin. V'rechev, v'ani v'eri yirenu, sham kimin rechev, tzem parash rechev, echad rechev chamor, v'yechad rechev gamol, v'simin hu, l'parasumor. This Rashi says that this is simin v'parasumodai, and the one that listens will listen and he realizes a lot going on. Pasuk Ches. Vayikra Aryeh al mitzpeh. There are a number of interpretations. Simply Aryeh Vayikra. Let's read the word pasuk backwards. Al mitzpeh. We take the word Vayikra and connect it to the word al mitzpeh. The person, the watchman who is stationed at his post, will call out from his post, Aryeh, there is a lion coming. Now that's difficult because we just finished saying that what he sees is a donkey and a camel. Yet, according to this interpretation, he's also calling them that they look like a lion. It's true. They are physically a donkey and a camel, but they are ferocious. They are ferocious like a lion, and they're about to attack and destroy our nation. That's one interpretation. What? The other interpretation is the continuation of what we said before of the Hashem told Yeshaya, I want you to instruct your student who's very critical of my ways. You have a student, Chavakuk was critical of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why is Kadosh Baruch Hu destroying the Beis Hamikdash? Why are all these things happening? Reassure him that the day of the Babylonians will come, they will be destroyed. So here we're continuing in that theme. The Aryeh is Chavakuk. Chavakuk is the gematria. The Aryeh and the Chavakuk have the same gematria, and he will call out when he sees he's not being instructed; he's being taught. It's a very interesting idea where we find training. We find one navi is training another navi. He will call out. Vayikra Aryeh al mitzpeh. Hashem anochi amei tami yomam yomam. Hashem, I stand yomam by day. I stand tamid yomam. I'm always waiting and watching, anticipating the fall of Bavel. Yal mishmarti, and upon my watch, anochi nitzav kol halilos, I stand all evening at my post waiting for this to come. So here the Aryeh Chavakuk, I yearn for the day when Bavel will get what they deserve, will come upon them the churban they deserve for destroying the Beis Hamikdash. The Hinei, or they simply refers to the watchman. The watchman is the watchman for Bavel is stationed at his post and is looking at the enemy about to attack, and declares that I am loyal. I am doing my job. I am standing here 24/7 to see if the enemy is about to come. And indeed, pasuk tes v'hinei zeba, I see it coming. This is coming. Rechev ish, a chariot of a man. Tzemet parashim, a team. Tzemet means a team, a pair of horsemen. Referring back to what we said before, the two horsemen, the camel and the donkey. Vayan, and this watchman raised his voice, Vayomer, and he said, Nafla, Nafla, Bavel. Bavel has fallen. V'chol pesilei Elohecha shibal aretz. All of its idols have been broken to the earth. Indeed, this watchman sees the Churban. It's imminent. According to the Peshtut Shal Mikra, there are so many soldiers. The army is so massive. It's a done deal. There is no hope for us. We will be destroyed in the very near future. And that's why he says this in the past tense. According to the other interpretation, I'm referring to Chavakuk. He's witnessing this in the form of prophecy. And he reveals that he sees through the Yad Hashem, through Nevuah, that Bavel indeed will come to an end at some point in the future. Pasuk Yud, Midushasi. Midushasi, Lashon of thresh, of threshing. We're comparing Bavel to grain. Grain after it's harvested from the field is taken to the threshing floor, and the animals are allowed or are instructed or are trained to trample upon the grain, to crush the grain in order to separate the kernel from the chaff. That is the type of churban that will come upon Bavel. It will be as if they are being threshed, trampled upon by animals. Midu shasi, they have been threshed. Uven garni, they are objects that are in my silo. The grain is stored in the silo. Goren, my goren is a silo, and the silo is where the grain has been threshed, has been pulverized. Asher shamati, I have heard me'es Hashem tzvakos elokei Yisrael. I have heard all of this information from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Higadi lachem, he has told this to you. Through me, he has revealed this to you, that indeed this will come to be. Bavel will be destroyed for what they have done to the Jewish people. And it's interesting, over here, over Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have many names to Hashem. Hashem, Tzvakos, Elokei Yisrael, three different expressions refer that this is a done deal. I've seen this prophecy through the full vision of Hashem, Tzvakos, Elokei Yisrael. I've seen this, I'm giving over to you, that indeed Bavel will be destroyed. So that ends the Nevuah, another signal of the Nevuah of Bavel, what will come upon them. One interesting thing we spoke about Purim, Josh, we mentioned that Purim corresponds to the Shulchan. The Chanukah, there are two kelim based in this. There is the menorah and there's a Shulchan. The menorah corresponds to Chanukah, and the Shulchan corresponds to Purim. And it's interesting over here, that's what, when we refer to the Churban of Bavel and the successor, Parasu Modai, it's with the words Aroch HaShulchan. See, the Lefi Pshut HaShul Mikra, going back to Pasuk Hey, the Pasuk is describing that night, that Su'udah, that state dinner of Belshazzar, where he took out the Kelim of the Beis Midrash, he celebrated the fact that 70 years have passed, and Bavel is still standing strong, and nothing has happened. And that night, suddenly they saw the handwriting on the wall. So the pasuk with the pshuta means aroich hashulchan. While the command was given to arrange the table, to rejoice, to celebrate, all of a sudden the mood changed, and the command was given tzafo hatzafis. Let the watchman go to his post and look out, make sure the enemy is not approaching. However, al derech drush, we can interpret the pasuk is on this night aroich hashulchan. Put into motion the miracle of Purim. Paras Umada, the miracle of Purim, took place during the reign of Paras, which was part of the alliance. It was really both together during the Golus of Paras Umada. Bavel is coming to an end, and when Bavel comes to an end, who will take over? Who will take their place? Paras Umada. And the the event of Paras Umadai that defined their Malchus was the Nes of Purim. And Nes of Purim is captured in all of the ideas that are found in the Shulchan. Shulchan is bread, it represents sustenance. Purim was the miracle where we survived, our physical body survived. It was Gzeru L'Hashmu L'Harig of the Guf. Aroi HaShulchan, at this point in time, arrange the table. I am bringing about the downfall of Babel. I am putting in place the Malchus of Paras Umadai. And through them, the Shulchan will achieve its full glory, because the miracle of Purim and all that comes with it will come to light. Eat and drink. I'm putting into place now Paras Umadai, which will bring the miracle of Purim, where there will be celebration of eating and drinking. Kumu hasarim mishchu mogein. The serum shall rise up and anoint the mogein, the shield of Magen Avraham, which really refers to the seeds of the Ula, which came through the miracle of Purim. Something along those lines. But a little drush over here and Pasuk, going back to Pasuk. Okay, that concludes the Nebuah. We'll stop here. We're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph.